Again, we're in Ephesians chapter 2 now. We're getting in our second readings from Ephesians for the next month or so. And so I thought it would be good to focus on that long before the time of Christ. The temple of the Lord, originally built by Solomon, King Solomon, the son of David, located in Jerusalem, was a place where foreigners were actually welcome to come. In fact, King Solomon personally invited foreigners to come and worship alongside the people of Israel. Later on, the prophet Isaiah would declare that foreigners, that being non-Jewish people, non-Israelites, were welcome to be full participants in worship. But sometime before the time of Christ, I think in the maybe 100, 200 years before Christ came on earth, something changed. Gentiles, non-Jewish people, were forbidden to even enter into the temple. They were told they could worship the Lord, but they could not enter into the temple. In fact, a wall was built around the temple grounds, and this wall was referred to as the Soreg. And it was built to offer a clear line of division between Jews and Gentiles. It was built in a way so that there was a gate there, and on a hillside far away, Gentiles were invited to stand there and peer through the gate and watch worship from afar. They were not allowed into the wall or into the temple grounds to worship because they did not bear on them, on and in their flesh, the sign of God's promises before them. That's circumcision. They were not circumcised. They did not bear the sign of God's promise on their flesh. Archaeologists have found postings, inscriptions that were placed on this Soreg, and they read something like this: "Let no foreigner enter within. Whosoever is taken so doing will be the cause that death overtaketh him." Guards were posted at the gate. Death was the punishment for a Gentile who even dared to go into the temple grounds by passing through this dividing wall that surrounded the temple grounds. Years later, after Christ, not everything has changed. In our reading from Ephesians, Paul addresses the young church that is in Ephesus, a church that he spent 3 years of his life with, kind of helping to form, ministering to. This church is composed of both Jewish and Gentile converts to the faith. But in many ways, the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile still stands. And it's Paul's intent, partly in this letter, to take those divisions to task. So even though both Jews and Gentiles comprise this church, it was the sign of circumcision that was being abused by the Jews. They use it as a mark, a badge of honor in a way, as though God still held a more special place in his heart for the Jews, even Jews who converted to Christianity, over Gentiles who also converted to Christianity. Now, of course, it is true that God had chosen the Jewish people, the Israelites, to be his people. He referred to them as his children. He let them refer to him as their father. And it was through them and in them that God revealed his promises, made his promises. He gave them the law. He gave them prophets. And it would be through them that God would send his Messiah. Circumcision for the Jews represented all these things. It's what made them special. And it was really a dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. So in this section from Ephesians that we have, even though Paul begins it by directly addressing the Gentiles, he's addressing both groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, and he starts by kind of making a little dig towards the Jewish converts. Verse 11, "So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision," which was a way that the Jews were kind of using a derogatory term towards the Gentiles, "you who are called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands." And there's the dig that Paul is making towards the Jews. He tells them, you know, this thing that you're holding up high, it's in the flesh, in your flesh, made by human hands. And it's a subtle thing, because he's going to use this phrase and he's going to turn it about and he's going to show them something that God has done for them through Christ in the flesh of Christ. So he brings the Jewish converts down a notch. And then he goes towards the Gentiles, because they're part of the fight too, and he brings them down a notch as well. He reminds them of where they came from. Verse 12, "Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." It's kind of a harsh saying. The Gentiles were at one time without hope, without God in the world. On the whole, Paul lays it out, they were on the outside. They were on the outside of that dividing wall. The God of promise and hope was revealed to the Jews, not to them. He was hidden to the Gentiles. So in these first two verses, to get at what is really dividing the people, Paul lays it out. Here's you Jews with your circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, and here's you Gentiles who were outside of the walls. He sorts it out. He lays it out so that he can proclaim something new to them. There's division in that church, in the church of Ephesus. And division is a poison. It creeps in, it seeps in, and it kills. It can creep into our marriages, our friendships. It can creep into sports teams, working relationships, and even our churches today. But when it does creep in, it's helpful to do what Paul did here, to remember where we came from. Because really, we're all Gentiles. In other words, it's helpful to remember that at one time, we were divided from God, separated by our sin from God, void of hope, lost in the world, unable to see the Lord. Now, you may be in Christ now, but at one time you were without Him and without hope. When there is division, we remember who we were. And Paul likes to do this. In all his letters, there seems to be a point where he says, remember, you were like this, but now you're like this. And there's always the "but now." And here, Paul goes that way too. Paul tells the Gentiles and tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Again, he's talking to the Gentiles there, and in a way to the Jews. They were far off. They were unable to enter the temple. but by the blood of Christ, they are brought near to the Lord. For He is our peace. In His flesh, He has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. Again, He's talking to both groups. He says to the Gentiles, look, you were far off. By the blood of Christ, you are brought near. Jews, you had something you did in your flesh, but now in the flesh of Christ. Both groups, through the blood of Christ, are brought together into one, and the dividing wall, the soreg, is broken down. Gentiles may have been lacking circumcision, the physical sign in an individual's flesh of God's promises, but now in Christ, they receive the benefits He won for them in the flesh of Christ. It's subtle language here. But when Paul uses this word, these words in Christ, which he does a lot in this letter, he's leading the people to look at their baptism. And later on in the letter, it'll become more pronounced. But it's in baptism where the people are made new, given a newness, both Jew and Gentile. It's a greater and more profound circumcision. And it's a place where there is unity. In baptism, you and I are no longer strangers and aliens. But we are, as Paul says here, citizens, members of the household of God through Jesus Christ Himself. He speaks as though the temple is torn down. Not just the wall around it, but the temple itself. And the new temple is Christ. Christ is the new temple itself, but He's also the cornerstone upon how it is built. And every one who is baptized into Him is like a brick in the wall, connected to Christ, making something new, a new temple, a new body of Christ, out of whom God ministers to the world, where there is no fortress set around it, where people are invited to come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Christ shed on the cross for you, He has something new for you. And through this new thing God has done in Christ, God has made something new. In Galatians, Paul will proclaim that there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ. In Christ, the law has been nullified, as Paul says, that He might create in Himself one new humanity, which is the church, thus making peace. God's goal in Christ is to remake you as one who is in Christ. And to do that, He sent Christ to the cross for you, to cause reconciliation to be made. First and foremost, between you and God, so that we may know forgiveness. Because no matter what divisions we might have with each other or with anybody else, it is nothing compared to the division that was there between you and God. And that's what He fixes first. And then He implores us through His Spirit, through the forgiveness we receive, the repentance we are brought to break down divisions between one and another. In Christ, you are reconciled to God the Father, and the dividing wall of sin and death that keeps you from God is brought down. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, Help us to receive your forgiveness, to know that you have brought us from far off to be near to you. Lord, today as we celebrate communion and receive your gifts again of forgiveness, help us to be forgiving of others too, to come before others and ask for forgiveness as well. Help us, Lord, in humility to break down those dividing walls that you would have seen broken down. We pray this in your name. Amen.